Let's get on down to the main attraction with a little less talk and a lot more action.
Every Tuesday afternoon at 2:30, we put the pellets just a little bit out of the reach of the hamsters. They spin around, and our tech spotlight turns on to something here in the region that is doing something of industry, or interest, I should say, in the tech industry. And this week, we fall upon Adam Rumenek, who is the founder and CEO of Oxmode. Good afternoon, Adam.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm not so bad. So here's what I try to do. I get these notes about these companies that I'm talking about, and I try to discover what they're all about, and then we try to figure out if we can make that relatable to the rest of the world. And so I look at Oxmode, and I say, you're really in the protection of content creator business, aren't you?
Yes, yes. And your challenge is to make this understandable. we're in the digital rights management arena, which is fairly new to everybody. Because most people just surf internet, surf YouTube and love what they see. And maybe they record the Blue Jay game and not understand that they can't just upload that to YouTube and think it's their video.
And so what you do is you help protect those content creators from people doing that kind of thing. I'm loath to call it stealing, even though it is, but, you know.
We refer to it as misuse.
Uh-huh, that's very nice. How thoughtful of you.
Right, right. Yeah, so we're the company that gets hired to say, please don't misuse that content and upload that Blue Jay game or that Coldplay concert or whatever somebody likes to do. That they probably know they don't own it, but this isn't the days of VHS tapes and trading, you know, traditional tapes. Streaming's pretty easy from everybody's phone, so it keeps us pretty busy.
So, like, it's changed a lot, right? Like, if we go back 5, 6, 7 years, way easier to do today than it was just a few years ago.
Yeah. I'm going to reference Napster.
How thoughtful of you.
If your audience, they changed the game for all of us. And we primarily focus on the video portion, which YouTube is where we work right now, and Facebook. But we back in the day, it was so easy. Napster came out of the gates, and everybody thought it was stealing everything from the music industry. And YouTube just didn't want that same thing in the video world. So we work on the platform to help people exercise their intellectual property rights. And saying that, I mean, YouTube is just so big. There's not even a close second out there for a platform that size. It keeps us pretty busy. And Hollywood and Company, which is more so who we work with, have kind of stopped trying to fight it and joined it. As you and I both know, Disney Plus didn't exist 2 years ago. Now it's just a monster new platform everybody loves. So it keeps us busy.
Yeah, it's interesting how that changed, right? In the early days, and all of these content creators were worried about people, you know, taking their stuff, putting it up on YouTube. But all of a sudden, when you create your own streaming service, you're right away protecting yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. So they're not even licensing it to third-party platforms anymore. These major corporations are creating their own platforms. Think about Netflix just basically opened everybody's eyes that this can actually work and break the traditional broadcast linear model. And all of a sudden, these companies like Disney were like, instead of selling it, we're going to actually publish it ourselves. And a lot of people look at, you know, I don't know if you heard Netflix, I think they have Seinfeld coming out at the end of the month, which is a pretty big deal. It's almost like Friends on Netflix. It was so big for so long, and then they pulled it, moved it to another platform. But this industry is going through a massive amalgamation. Companies are either amalgamating or starting their own platforms so fast. And for us, it's great. We were on it a while ago. Our story started. We were YouTubers in the move over to Hollywood and Company when nobody was really looking at streaming. And we got an early reputation as a company to do this type of work. And now it's here. And we still think we're at the beginning of it all. We haven't seen anything yet. And we're seeing a massive movement, but other platforms will come up, like Facebook will start taking this more seriously. And there'll be a lot of, you know, mergers and who knows who's going to buy who next. MGM just got bought by Amazon, which is a good thing if you're an Amazon Prime user, because they'll have all those James Bond films and everything. So a lot of things are happening.
There was talk not that long ago, Adam, that, you know, all of a sudden all this content would be freely available to everyone. That's really what's changing, right? That content is going to be more and more restricted to people so that companies can protect their property.
I think so. I'm on that side of the conversation. I do believe these platforms will all open up, even though they're all subscription-based today. I think the value, we've seen it, I mentioned COVID, because all of us at home, the watch time rises, everybody keeps on going online for content. The value of opening it up for free and garnering a larger audience is more valuable than a monthly subscription cost. And you know, the world's a big place. I mean, you know, countries like India with over 1 billion people, we're seeing massive amount of watch time and views from different regions in the world that companies like Netflix can't get their monthly fee over there. It's just never going to happen. So it might be easier for them to go AVOD and run ads.
Right. And see, and I was just because you were talking about that, I was thinking we're going to go back to the future here, because you're going to get a Disney Plus that's charging whatever it is per month. If it can't collect it, but it can make the same amount or better revenue from advertising, we've come full circle, right?
100%. That's exactly how I think it's all, you know, fast forward 5 years. I think Amazon Video Prime will be free for the Prime users, and non-Prime users can watch it with ads.
That's advertising killed television, you know. That's, I don't know if these people know that. How did you get into this, Adam? What was your first inkling of it?
I actually fell into it. It wasn't a choice. We actually built some software, and I didn't even think I'd be doing this, but I'd been into the internet. You know, I mentioned Netscape. I liked computers when I was younger, and I've been always into the internet. And one of our customers way back in the day when I was designing websites and working for people in the basement and NGOs and banks and stuff, a customer had an idea to drink a Starbucks and sit in front of YouTube. And he was a big gamer, and he had a couple of TV shows, and he knew about YouTube, and he thought brands would pay him to be in front. I was like, that's a great idea. And then as we got into it, some of the broadcasters were coming to me, hey, we know you work with these celebrities. Could you help us out taking our content down from this? This is like 2010, and YouTube was fairly new at that point, and most people saw it like another Napster. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I figured out how to do that. And then I realized I'd been into computers long enough that the game of YouTube being unregulated, and sooner or later Hollywood and company's content's going to be on this platform, I'd rather work on the other side of the table, not with individual personalities, but kind of larger corporations that treat it as more like a business as opposed to a hobby, and kind of migrated away from brands and over to older companies that have been doing this for a while, knowing that I had an inkling that streaming would be coming down the pipeline, especially because I knew about Netflix at the time. And I just fell into it a bit early and built up a reputation, got kind of lucky, right place at the right time, and maybe an aptitude for risk, because this kind of business, you have to constantly be one step ahead, and kind of just like we talked about with Amazon maybe going AVOD, you constantly have to think about that and constantly have to work with your partners to make sure that your technology works on all these platforms. So that led me into YouTube, and it was a good choice because it is just a huge platform. I'm a huge fan of all creators, but it got to me where we are today, which is great.
But if there's an industry where you should always need to be aware of people trying to steal your stuff, it's got to be this industry, right? The entertainment industry. There's a second industry that's designed to get your stuff for free.
Yeah, I mean, precisely. I mean, it's always been around, from LimeWire and the dark web and peer-to-peer and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it always makes it on the news. But it's such a, you know, I think of it this way. Like, there's so many people who, you know, back in the day traded tapes. Who didn't, like, copy music from a CD to a tape or stuff like that. But the majority of the people use these platforms. And it's just easier, faster, and quicker. I mean, there's so many people. I mean, even when I was a kid, I was using these platforms, these peer-to-peer platforms like Napster and LimeWire and stuff. But as I, you know, got more devices, iPads, phones, desktops, laptops, it's just not, you're not going to do it anymore. Computers are all cloud-based now. We use Chromebooks all over the office today, and there's no hard drive for this. You'd rather just stream it, and it's going to come with an ad. I think I'm going to watch the 2-minute ad if it's non-skippable, and get my free music. I use YouTube for music every day, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even look at a company like Spotify. They added the one ad to give you 40 minutes ad free, right? And it works
exactly.
For them.
Yeah, that's why I use it. I mean, I do have a lot of subscriptions, but in the next Spotify, in the next YouTube, if there is one, I'm sure I'm going to use it as well. I'm agnostic when it comes to that. I'll watch the ad or have it on the left-hand side of my video.
Well, anything that requires less work by the user is better, right?
And free, the magic word.
Yeah, that is the magic word, isn't it? So does this look the way you thought it would when you first started thinking about the way that this would look?
I think it's a lot bigger. I mean, I'm an open source kind of person, so I believe in this. I just never thought it would be this big. It is. It's just enormous. I always thought there'd be more platforms, like I don't understand why Microsoft doesn't have one yet. But I do think it's going to consolidate. There might be niche platforms. There's no big sports platform yet, like where we can watch cricket, to Major League Baseball, to football in Europe and Formula One. There's some players, but I think there's going to be a huge amount of growth in live sports online. We just haven't seen it yet. I just think it's going to be so much bigger. And I do think there'll be consolidation with audio and video. I don't understand why Spotify and Netflix don't get married. I mean, if you're doing one, you might as well do the other. That's how I think. I just think there's so much room for growth still.
Well, and you mentioned the professional sports part about it. That's the last bastion I've always felt of live programming. So everybody who wants that live programming, and now you're including the traditional networks in it, they're going to fight like hell to hold on to it.
Of course. I don't blame them. I mean, they've seen, you know, traditional publications and newspapers and just drop because of this. And you'd mentioned TV advertising is down. It's just been destroyed in the last 2 years. And we see this because we used to travel a lot and go to all the, you know, markets around the world. And now we're seeing, unfortunately, sports is the last thing. Like, I'm going to watch the end of the season. Everybody's going to watch it. There's not a lot of places to see it, especially if you don't reside in Canada, but you follow Canadian baseball teams. So say you were in, you know, Hong Kong or in L.A. today or wherever you were, you would have a problem watching that game. So I do think the networks have something still, and ESPN and Sportsnet and stuff like that. But eventually somebody's going to come out with some great idea, YouTube for sports, and just switch the whole industry.
Well, if you look out there with a company like Amazon and the resources that they have, you kind of go sooner or later, right?
Yeah, precisely. I do the same. Amazon, I'm always thinking, is one step ahead of everybody. And they've done a great job of what they've built. I mean, at one time they were just buying. Now everything you go to Amazon, it's called Amazon Originals. And they're basically reading the cash register and creating content based on what people's preferences are, based on AI and content predictability. That kind of technology is what's made them king and basically very high up on the data chain. They collect more data than anybody. They're just using it in a very wise way to keep people. It's called TOS, time on site. Keep them on site.
How many people are at Ox Mode, Adam?
There's a dozen of us. And a lot of the stuff we do is automation. So the beauty about how we run our company, we try and build things that are fully scalable. We're hands-on. But a lot of the stuff that we do, we try and focus on stuff that let the computer do most of the work for us. Or in this case, we're cloud, we're a SaaS platform. But everything we do is automated.
And what's the background of the people who work with you, Adam? Where do they come from?
Well, when I first started, I was grabbing anybody I could. But now we've grown out of that stage. And engineers and, you know, a lot of people who want to speak to people, we do have you know, customer success managers that we need to reach out to our customers all the time, stay ahead of the game and offer them new stuff and features. But a lot of tech background and people, you know, who are really focused and love what they do. I can say that would be a guiding principle to working at Ox Mode. You got to like your day-to-day job if you're going to be here.
You've mentioned a few things that you think happen down the road, but how does your company change in the future? Any thoughts on that, or is this just one of those things where, well, whatever happens, we're going to roll with it?
We plan the future out pretty well. I have to. It keeps us ahead of our competitors and people who are thinking of getting in this industry. I do think data is king. Amazon, you mentioned, they're the kings of it. We just want to collect that data and use it for for our customers. We do a lot of revenue reporting. The files that we first started dealing with were, you know, 100 megabytes, maybe a gig. Everything now we deal about is terabytes. The files aren't manageable for our customers. So we manage those large data sets for our customers and automate their revenue reporting. But the future is not just automating the revenue and content production, the main things. We think the future is data predictability. It's basically why Costco has Kirkland and Loblaws has President's Choice and Netflix has Netflix Originals and Amazon Originals. They're predicting what we're going to want. So we think we individuals should have that ability, not just platforms or large corporations. And as more people go online and watch more content and you have a larger library, you can work their data and build data sets based on their customer habits to help them better predict what their market segment wants to see next. And if we can be at the table with more than 51% of being correct, who wouldn't want those numbers? So that's what AI and machine learning about data predictability, I think, is where it's all going. We are here. It's just, can you do it with a small enough library of content?
Adam, thanks for your time today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
I kind of came in not knowing what I'm talking about. Still not sure if I do, but I have a better idea of it.
Well, I told you it'd be a challenge at the beginning.
Adam, thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Adam Rumenek is the founder and CEO of OxMode. You will probably never hear of them again because they operate in a little bit of a different background. But it is the thing to me that I find fascinating is we went from this model of broadcast, and let's think about that in terms of television, where you produce programs, you run ads because the programs get in front of a certain number of eyes and you can sell your ads based on that. And now we see things like Netflix. Well, would you pay for if you're paying whatever it is, $15.99 a month these days for a Netflix, and they decide, you know what, we'd be better off going to an advertising model, would you sit through it? The answer to that question, you may not like the answer, but the answer to that question is probably yes, because you've already proven you will when you go onto YouTube and you skip a couple of ads. Maybe you don't see the whole thing, still making a bit of an impression. Kyle, go ahead.
You know, it's actually funny that you guys were saying that, it's kind of going back to the future, because you look at all these platforms now. I mean, like you just said, YouTube, we're running ads, but now you can buy a YouTube premium access pack or to get to music or whatever, and then skips those ads, right? It's like, how many more things are we going to add on to where, we are going back to the time where we were complaining about how high cable prices are, but now all the platforms that are online, it's adding up quick. Like, I could probably tell you I have, just top of my head, four things that I'm paying for just to watch off TV, and it's probably more than what I could pay for just having basic cable again, right?
Yep. In some cases, that's certainly the truth, Kyle. So,
I did wish that we had more sports. That's definitely the one downfall, is I do wish we had, like what he said, a sports platform, because, I miss a lot of the sports that I wish I used to watch all the time, right? Baseball is one of them. All that stuff, right?
It's coming. So, it's on its way, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks there.
All right. Yeah, and that's interesting, right? Because, prior to the pandemic, maybe, like, Disney almost ruled that out at the perfect time. Their Disney Plus, the Netflix, etc. Prior to that, you may not have used those programs all that much, and now you are. But, yeah, to Kyle's point, if you had 2, 3, 4 of those, all of a sudden it does start to add up. They may look at it a little bit differently when the pandemic's over. Maybe viewership drops. Maybe people start to drop their subscriptions. And then you look at a different model, which is, again, back to the future, because the only other different model you can have is one that is spinning you advertisements just like they are on YouTube or, for example, Spotify, right, where you'll hear plenty of your music and then for 30 seconds, listen to this ad for another 30 minutes of free music. And we do it because we're cheap and we're lazy. This is Kitchener Today on 570 News.